many of us know that we have a koach hadibur, we have the capacity for speech, but perhaps we take that for granted. And we think about a young man like Tony Robinson, who the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't give him that gift of speech. So we take the opportunity to use our positive speech in that merit to connect to him in his way of communicating. So even though he doesn't have speech, our speech is his speech. Our learning tonight is in the schus of the words. Our words are his words. And to talk about the koach hadibur, the power of speech. And the truth is that the last 2 years, in honor of Tani, we did a different project. And so when I sat down to prepare, it was very powerful for me. It was like, felt abysmal, you're saying, it was like a little bit missing that I hadn't done it in so long. And really focusing and concretizing my thoughts on the impact and the power of positive speech, it was very helpful to me. It just helped me reinforce and take that step back, and that's the goal of this project, and that's the goal of tonight, is for us to take a step back and realize what that gift is and what it means. Because the truth is, in one respect, the koach hadibur, our word, is everything. And that's what I want to explore tonight. That the koach hadibur, that our word and our words are everything. Much like our children are everything. And let me explain what I mean by that and how that impacts us. What does it mean when we say that something is everything? Is the whole world. Like some people, right, they look at someone, it's okay, it's back, it's good, it's good. What does it mean that you say everything? You know, oh, this is my everything. You ever hear people use that expression? We say in davening every morning in the Vayivarech David, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you are Lecha Hashem, you have Hagdula, Vahagvura, Vahatiferes, Vahanetzach, Vahod. All of those things. And you're familiar with those things from the davening. And also from the parallel that we've been experiencing in the Sfiras HaOmer, in the little phrases, Chesed Shebechesed, Gvura Shebegvura, all of those are the same phrases. These are seven patterns. So the first five are clearly spelled out. Gedula, which is Chesed, expansiveness. Gvura, which is restraint. Teferis, which is balance. Netzach, which is dominance. Hod, which is reservation. That we got. Then what does it say in davening? L'cho Hashem ha-gedula v'ha-gevura v'ha-tiferes v'ha-netzach v'ha-hod. That's right. Ki chol v'ha-shemayim v'ha-aretz. That's number six. And after that we have L'cho Hashem ha-mamlacha, which is not for tonight, but that's called Malchus. And Malchus gets its own L'cho, because it's a qualitatively different thing. Okay? But that last one, that last in the first six, is a little different. It's not Gedula, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod. It's Kichol Bashamayim Va'aretz. It's Kichol. It's our everything. That's the sixth of the attributes. Maharal points out in Gevuras Hashem, if you think about our world, we have north, south, east, west, up, down. That's it. Six is everything. From that perspective, six is kol. Six is connected to, if you look in the Siddur, this sixth attribute is what we call yesod. It's the foundation, meaning the foundation that supports and gathers everything. Anybody know who is the person of all the avos, the shepherds, who is associated with number six, with the midah of yesod? Any guesses? Anybody know who that is? If you look, actually, in the machzor, if you have like a nusach svard or chesidish machzor, or if you have a svardi machzor for sukkahs, every time you do hoshanas, you point out this person's name. You say this pasuk, Yichol b'shamayim v'aretz, And in the Hakafos, when they have little piyutim for Hakafos, we reference this person. Who is it? Which of the Avos? Anybody know? Which of the Avos is in the number 6 spot? I'll give you a hint.
Yosef.
What's that?
Yosef.
That's right. If you follow the Ariyah Karush, Alpi Kabbalah, for your Ushpizin in your Sukkah, that's where he fits. I'm curious. I don't know how many people who do Ushpizin. For those who follow the chronological, Yosef is in the number 4 spot. Right, Yosef is Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and then Yosef, then Moshe Aaron. That's if you follow chronological. He backs clean up. But if you follow Alpi the Ariyah Kodosh, if you follow according to the Zohar, which I don't know what your minig is, but then Yosef is in the number 6 spot. Don't ask him in front of everyone. Don't ask. Well, remember, by Sukkot, we'll get it right. Whatever it says on the sign.
1 hour.
Whatever it says on the sign, exactly. It's Yosef. The word Yosef means to add, to expand, lahusif, but it also means le'esof, to gather. Asaf Elokim, to bring everything together. Brings everything together. That's the root of everything. Kichol b'ashamay baris. That's everything. Is Yosef, is the Yesod. That's why it's also referred to as the Tzaddik. Tzaddik Yesod Olam. That's why growing up in our shtibel, we used to sell aliyahs on Yontif and sometimes on Shabbos, I guess depending on the economics, I don't remember exactly when. But shishi, they never sold. They would sell it, shishi, always to be mechaber the Rebbe. Because no one else could get shishi, the 6th aliyah, the Rebbe always got shishi. Because tzaddik yisod olam. By chassidim also, hakafos. A lot of times, like here, in Or Torah and Chove, the Kohanim get the first hakafa, the Levim get the next hakafa. By chassidim, the Rebbe always gets the 6th hakafa. Because on some level, whatever this means, the Baal Tanya explains that the nefesh of the tzaddik, the role of the tzaddik, is to be kolol everybody. Right? The greatest tzaddikim are able to relate to all the Jews, not just one narrow slice. That's Tzaddik Yesod Olam. That's the number 6. So you have, imagine, you have like, a structure, which is actually, you could visualize it kind of in your, let's say, in your Seder plate. Some of you have this. Anybody do this on the Seder plate? If you follow also the minig of the Mikubalim, some people have a Seder plate that's structured like a circle, but some people have a Seder plate that's 2 segels, A, B, C, A, B, C. 2 triangles on top of each other, 2 segels, 2 circles, because it's the same pattern. And who is in the bottom in the middle of the circle? It's going to be Avraham, who's going to be Chesed, and Yitzchak is going to be Gevura, and Yaakov is going to be the synthesis. Then it's going to be Moshe, who's Netzach, Aaron, who's reflecting, is Hod, and it's Yesod. The Yesod includes everything. It's Kol Bashamayim Var. It's all 6 dimensions. That's the concept of Yesod. It gathers everything. Where do we invest everything? Where do we put everything? Into whom? If where everything else falls away, and where everything goes, who do we put everything that we have into?
Children.
That's right, our children. So it's not surprising, even on a simple level that we can understand, that the Midah of Yesod, of Yosef, of everything, is related to our children. Yosef, that Tzaddik Yesod Olam, is related to Bris Milah, which is the concept of creation. And every time we have another child that's brought into the world, that's another everything. Every child is a whole world. Every human being is an olam mole. I'll digress just for one moment, not to bring, it's Yom Yerushalayim shtickel still, so not to bring, but the biggest thing that I was thinking about from last week from Lag BaOmer was mamish how every person is an olam mole. Every person is a Kol Bashamayim of Aretz. Each person. The whole world. So when a person, this one is particularly related to men, when a person is molid, a child, when a man is molid, that bris mila, that act of creation, is everything. And that's why, on a partial level, we do everything for our children. We would give up everything we have. As parents, we would give ourselves. We would much rather, if a person, Rachman al-Nitzlan, had to choose, who would even think? We give it all. Because it's kol. Kichob ha-shamayim v'aretz. We model Hashem, who is everything to us, and He created us. So what we create in our children, we'll give Him everything, gladly. Belev shalim. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us Belev shalim. That's the midah of Yesod. The midah of the bris, the midah of tzaddik, of holada. So you know what's really interesting? The Chasam Sofer, in his commentary in Bereishis, in the Toras Moshe, and the Baal Shem Tov, in a few places, and many, many Chassidish Sfarim pick up on this, that there are two brisin that exist. There is the bris hamor, with an ayin, the bris mila, and the bris halashon. And according to the Arizal, these are connected. They're connected. A bris mila, if a man, God forbid, doesn't perform a bris mila, so then they've lost everything, right? They can't be part of the Jewish people. That's the basic building blocks. It's, God forbid, it's the only mitzvah, say, aside from Korban Pesach, which of course is another bris, that if a person doesn't fulfill that mitzvah, that's karis. It's not a mitzvah, say, shishbo karis. It's not a punishment. It's a consequence. If you didn't do a bris mila, then you're just not part of it. Because the bris mila is kol. But if bris mila and Yosef and Yesod is kol, and that's the same as the bris of Dibor, the bris halashon, do we realize what that means? Maybe this is part of the tikkun, that when Yosef started, Vayava Yosef, we don't understand really on a deep level what happened over there, but Yosef brought Dibasam Ra Elavim. He said something, and justify, I'm not getting into that. Lamaisa, what it says is he used words that were negative. And that negative speech, I mean, we can't even measure. Because Yosef is the tzaddik, is the bris hamor, but it's also, of course, the bris halashon. And if we understand that those two are parallel, that bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu, that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the whole world with the koach of dibor, that's the yesod. And that's going to be our yesod. That's everything. In a certain sense, you could argue, it's not just that, you know, if you do the counting in Al Chaitz for Yom Kippur, I have one of those Al Chaitz pamphlets, which are very good, although they can get overwhelming if you realize all the things you did. Because when you read it in the Hebrew, it's not so bad. I mean, like, I don't even know what it says over there. I did that? All right, Shine, I did that. But when you read it in English, you say, Taka, I did that. So you go through, I think, forget the number of times it talks about the Al Chaitz for the speech. That's one. Okay, fine. It's a lot of things. But did we ever realize that if we take kol, we take everything, how would you capture everything? Kol b'shamayim v'aretz, everything, you capture it in your speech. So what would they do on Yom Kippur? They would take a goat and they would send it out to the desert. And what would they put in the horns of the goat? From the Seder Avodah. They would take a Lashon Shel Zahoris. What does the word Lashon mean? What would they tie on the horns? It literally means a tongue. Right? They would take a piece of cloth. A Lashon Shel Zahoris. They would take a red bendela, a string, a piece of cloth. And they would tie it on the head of the animal. They would take the animal, give it to the Ishiti, to the designated man, a special guy, takes it all the way out to the Tzuk, to Midbar Yehuda. Just imagine, look out from Male Adumim. You could see exactly, I'm sure they'll tell you, you could pay a tour guide, he'll tell you exactly where it was, right? You could see, Mamish, the Midbar Yehuda. They push it off the cliff. What would happen? The thing would go down with half the red string to the bottom, and the other half of the red string was where? It was back in the Mikdash. and it would turn white. And that was the simen that all the averus had been forgiven. But what's the language? All the averus are carried in the lashon. The lashon shel zahoris. That's where it all is. Because the lashon is the call. Kichol b'ashamayim v'aretz. The bris is in the lashon. That carries everything. So if we understand now that our word is mamish everything, we can understand how impactful it can be on us, on others, and on the whole world. Because it's everything. It's the koach of kol. For us, when I saw this vort last week or this week, I don't remember, I was like, that's a knockout vort. The Shem Yishmol writes that the mouth, the lashon, the tongue, our koach of speech, he says that's, we refer to in English as a kli, right? Your vocal cords. It's an apparatus. If somebody can't speak correctly, so they'll go to an ENT and they'll have to check out this, their, all the various components of this vessel. So Shem Yishmol writes that your power of speech, your mouth, is like a kli sharis. It's like a vessel which is used in the Beis HaMikdash. That's his vort. That your mouth is like a kli sharis. Awesome! Because what is the koach of a kli sharis? The Gemara discusses in Zvachim and Menachos that if you take a kli sharis and you put something inside of it, you don't even have to do anything. And that which goes in it, what happens, Daf Yomi folks? It's Niskadish. Becomes Kodesh. We can fill ourselves with Kedusha by being Mekadesh, our mouth, by creating a Kli Sharis. Because if we have a Kli Sharis, which is our mouth, then everything else we do is Kodesh. Because it's Kol. It's Asaf. It's the Ma'asav. It carries everything. So if that defines a person, if I fill that with Kedusha, then Mamela, everything else is Kadosh. My hands, my feet, everything. Because that is the Kli Sharis that's Kol everything. We can be Mekadesh ourselves, all of us, every part of ourselves, just with our speech. That's the effect that it can have on ourselves. But of course, not just on ourselves, on other people. Right, there's the element that affects us, but then there's the element that affects other people. The koach, and this we've spoken about in years past, the koach that speech has on others. You know, the Regina Rebbe, he once pointed out, and you get this impression when you read, let's say, the Tales of Rabbi Nachman, that mountains represent strength in the world. Right? Shover Arozim, yet what is Shover Arozim? The kol. The voice. All those things at the end of the Mizmor that we say on Friday night, Kol Hashem, it smashes everything. Wind is capable of knocking over even the greatest mountain. And so the Beis Avram of Slonim says an amazing, amazing vort. And I heard this from Reb Melech Biederman. I heard two vorts I'm going to share with you, because Reb Melech, for those who don't know, he is a mashpia and a rav, and a magid in Israel is phenomenal. And if you want, he puts that there. There's a machon. They put out little 3-4 minute or 2 minute clips from Reb Melech. You know about this? They put it out on WhatsApp. So you can get two options. You have two tracks. You can get the with English subtitles, and then you can get Yiddish only. Yiddish only, gewalt. My Yiddish is not that good, but sometimes I can follow what he says over there. So I subscribe to both just for the challenge. So Reb Melech quotes from the Beis Avram of Slonim. He says an awesome vort. He says, Macha yemesim b'ma'amaro. Macha yemesim b'ma'amaro. With your ma'amar, with your speech, you can really bring somebody back from the dead. Macha yemesim, just b'ma'amaro. Just with saying something nice to someone. The power of a good word. As he says in Yiddish, a gute vort. the power of a good word, you can mamish be mechayim meisim. So I'll tell you a maisa, an emesa maisa. Wild story. There's a musicologist, a music teacher in California. Her name is Audrey Hunt. I don't think she's Jewish. She was a music teacher in the 1970s in a community college in Moore Park, California, which sounds like very chill. You can imagine what's going on over there. It sounds very chill. She's a music teacher in the community college. You could find her, by the way, now. I looked her up. She's on LinkedIn. If you want voice lessons, if you don't want Dove to teach you voice lessons, she can teach. For the women, she can do a great job teaching voice lessons. She's advertising. So she says that in the 1970s, she was teaching music and the history of music and music appreciation, whatever they teach in like the secular equivalent of Bell School of Jewish Music. And she has a group of students, and she was younger back then, so she's trying to be like, you know, a gavra, a serious teacher. So she comes in, she has her things all set up, the desk, the whole thing, ba ba ba. She has a student who comes into the class. His name is Edward, and he looks very, very schwach. He's the last kid to come in the class. He's a 6-foot-plus tall kid, and he has like sandy brown hair, but he looks totally, totally tzebrachen. He always walks in and his clothing is haggard and he looks totally dejected and he has, you know, like, he doesn't look put together. And she sees he's doing miserably in the class. First of all, half the time he's not there. And then finally when he shows up, is the quizzes, he's not holding. So, you know, on the one hand, she's like, you know, I'm a new teacher, I gotta, you know. But then she has a shtickle rachmanis on this kid. He looks like she doesn't know what's going on. So she says, you know, she should make an effort. She should try to reach out to this kid. So she stays one day during lunch. She sees he sits mamish, levado at the lunch table, all by himself. No one's sitting with him. Nobody's talking to him. He sits by himself. So as the semester goes on, she finds interactions, opportunities after class is over just to talk to him and just, you know, hey, how's it going? But he doesn't say much. Even in class, there's no audible response. It's just, you know, yes or no, or, you know, a nod of the head. So finally comes the end of the semester. So she's going to give her final exam. And you know, the final exam is going to be very serious. And then she's going to give out the grades. But as a good teacher, she's going to meet with each student. She'll meet with each student after the final exam to tell them, you know, Maya. So she announces to the class exactly what the schedule is going to be and that the final exam is going to be on Sunday. And then the meetings are going to be Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Everyone comes to her office. And each of these students, you know, after they've given their test on Sunday, she grades them Monday and she's going to meet with each of them individually on Tuesday. Kachava. She gives out all the grades, all the tests, excuse me. And so Sunday night, she goes, looks at these tests. And she could see when the guy, Edward, when he finished his test, he didn't look really good. And she saw on the paper that it was mamish geferlich. It was geferlich. And so she doesn't know what to do with this guy. You know, she has to be fair. You know, I'm a teacher, I got to be fair. But she senses something, it's nebuch, it's not. So she's been debating in her mind what to do all Monday with this kid. What to do with this kid. P.S. Tuesday morning comes, and she's thinking back and forth. 9 o'clock, one kid after the next comes. They get their tests, they get their report. Shine. Edward doesn't show up. By now it's 11:30. Okay, in Malasot, he didn't come. So she says, okay, that's it. Must be. She waited long enough. She starts packing up her papers, putting it in the bag. She gets up. She goes to the door. She closes the door. She's heading down the hallway. And there, coming up the stairwell, there's Edward. And she said he looked worse than he had ever looked before. He was clearly wearing the same clothes that he had worn yesterday, and maybe the day before, maybe Tmol Shilshom. And he was very disheveled, and his lips were like cracking, very, very dry, and he didn't look 100% Beseder. So she's trying, like, are you okay? Can I get you some water? He says, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. I don't need any water. I just came to get my paper. And I came to get my grade. So he sits down, and she sits on the other side of the desk, and she's looking through the papers. She opens up the bag, and she says, oh, here we are. You got an A this semester. So he says, what do you mean? I got an A. She says, you know, even though on paper, maybe it looks like you're a D student, but I can tell that inside you are an A person. And so for this class, you get an A. And by the way, you should know that as a teacher, I love you and I'm proud of you. Says nothing. Picks up the paper, heads out of the office down the hall. Now she doesn't know what to feel. You know, the kid deserved a D. I told him he got an A. Now I don't know. She goes to sleep that night. She's very misupuk. She gets a call at 3:30 in the morning. Man on the other end of the line. Maisa Shaya Kachaya. I have it printed out. I can give it to you. She write it. It's 5 pages right here. She gets a call 3:30 in the morning. The guy's on the other line. Is this Ms. Hunt? Yes. Are you the music teacher in the community college? She says, yes. I have to talk to you. She says, Adoni, you know. She says, is it urgent? He says, I'm the priest in Edwards Church, and I have to tell you something that happened today. I got a call this morning, Lo Aleinu. I got a call this morning from Edward's parents that when they went into his room, they found a note on his bed. We don't want to say what it says on this note. You can read it in the story. But apparently he had an older brother who was smaller than him and very jealous of him and tormenting him terribly. And he wrote on this note exactly what he thought his life was worth. And he said to them to look in the closet. That was the note that was left. But he figured the last thing that he could do, the decent thing that he could do, was to go pick up this last paper from this teacher. So the priest said that when the parents went into that room that morning, they found the note and they ran to the closet. And there was, you know what there was over there, Lo Aleinu. And there was a picture of the brother, but there was no Edward. And they called the priest and they couldn't find him. And later that afternoon, Chves in a park somewhere, sitting with his paper that said A on it, they tracked down this guy, Edward. Mechaye Mason b'mamaro. Mamish. A good word. To tell somebody that they're an A person. How difficult is it? But you know what? It is difficult sometimes. Because we're busy, and it makes us feel uncomfortable. And maybe, you know, if they're an A person, maybe the Rebbe Shalom has a maximum number of A people. I don't know. If I make him an A person, then maybe it diminishes me a shtickel. We have 1,000 reasons why we don't tell people that they're an A person. But the Koach HaDibur, Mamish, I saw this Maisa, I was Nispol, Mamish Machai Mason Mamaro. And then the last, the element of Dibur, the Koach HaDibur on Kol Ki Chol Bashamayim Va'aretz. In the whole world, you notice that that the arava, which is mechuvan keneged the mouth, when we come to the Ribono Shel Olam begging kol mevaser vevaser viomer, we say, God, can you tell us that the geula is coming? It's the words of the mevaser, mevasera sion, to stand and say, it's enough. It's enough suffering and golus and distance from you. We want to come home. You want to come home. It's Yom Yerushalayim. Let's go home already. So we say there's a kol mevaser, that someone who's going to give that good word. So where does that come from? So Rav Melech has a great, great vort in the name of an old sefer called the Imre Noam. Awesome vort. Pasuk says, Naftali, and this will conclude, Naftali ayola shlucha hanosein. Anybody know the next words? Not, that's right. Oh, Hashem. Eretz Yisrael Degi, you know this. Imre Shefer. That's why the Netziv Sagara is called Imre Shefer, because his name was Naftali. Imre Shefer. Naftali Ayola Shlucha. Fashteitzach, if you go to the Doar in Eretz Yisrael, what is the symbol of the Doar? Not an old man standing online, you know, waiting for the B.S. Gold Tzedek until he can finally get to the, you know, Pakid. That's not the symbol. What is the symbol of the Doar in Eretz Yisrael? That's right. It's an Ayala. Ayala Shlucha. That's quick delivery. Naftali Ayala Shlucha Hanosein Imre Shefer. Awesome, awesome vort. What does it mean, an Ayala Shlucha? How does Naftali get the word so fast? He runs really fast. So Melech says, great mashal. He says, what happens? You have tons of traffic on the, whatever that's called, the 94. But if an emergency vehicle comes, Krias Yamsuf! No one gets in the way of the emergency vehicle, they go right through, right? No problem. So he says, Naftali Ayala Shlucha. You know what Naftali's koach is? To be the Ayala Shlucha that nothing ever gets in his way? Hanosein Imre Shefer. If you give a nice word, the koach of giving a nice word, it removes all the obstacles. It takes away all the traffic. If you become an ayola shlucha, nothing can stand in your way. And that's why the Sfasemis writes that the geula of Mitzrayim was al yedei the koach ha-dibor, the tikkun of the dibor. And that's why, of course, Pesach is about the Pesach. It's about the koach ha-dibor. And who is the Koach HaDibur, he says? It's personification of Yosef. Because it's Kichol B'Hashemayim V'Aretz. So I wonder if the Koach HaDibur, this coal, is transformational enough as a cliché to change our lives. That it's Mechai Mesim B'Ma'amaro to give life to someone else with a nice vort, a nice word. Let's give someone a compliment. Look at this. How could you not compliment this tablecloth? Mamish, like, it's sometimes it's so easy. Once you notice the tablecloth, you also say, chocolate covered strawberries. It's also, they're very well done. And then the flower arrangement, it's like, if you just pay attention, great Maisa. I can't help myself, there's one more Maisa. Shlomo Kalbach, Zichron Levrachi, once went to a breakfast place. And the woman who was serving the muffins over there, you know this Maisa. She didn't look like she was having the best day or maybe the best decade. You know, that's how she looked. So he's having this breakfast with a guy who tells over this Maisa. Shlomo Kalbach says to this woman, he says, ma'am, this is the best muffin I've ever eaten in my life. I'd like to know who baked this muffin. It's this woman who looks kaharget, and she's, you know, the hair and the fashlumped, and she has such a nasty attitude. Nebuch, nebuch. She looks up. First of all, Aleph, the customers don't usually speak to the people. And Bay's delicious muffin, she hasn't heard that. She says, well, the truth is, I made the muffin. So Shlomo says, you made the muffin? You should know. I'm a famous musician. I travel all around the world. I've done concerts in front of tens of thousands of people from Ukraine to Israel to South Africa to Brooklyn, you know, all foreign countries, all kinds of places. And this is the best muffin I've ever had. Can you tell me the recipe? So now she has her uniform shtickle. She pulls it up a little bit like this. She says, you know, I have this recipe for a few years. He says, really? Where'd you get the recipe? The guy sitting there with Rav Shlomo Kalmbach is supposed to have a breakfast meeting. 5 minutes, the meeting is derailed while he's going on the virtues of the muffin and, you know, the crunchy top of the soft inside, which is, by the way, not a klein azach, to make sure that that's correctly done. But it goes on and on. And when they left the breakfast, this guy looks at this woman, and it's Machayim Esim Amaro. She looks like a different person. Amazing, with the Koach HaDibur, with that gift of speech that sometimes we take for granted. And finally, we let the Ribbono Shel Olam, we let him know, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you gave us this Koach HaDibur, Mevaser V'Omer. Please, please, it's already been Ad Kama, how many years, how much time in this Golas? Sfasem has told us that the Geula comes about through the Koach HaDibur. So if each one of us, we have this campaign now until Shavuos, find a moment in our day. Find a moment in our day and think and focus and create Geula. And tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not going to say that snide comment. I'm not going to send that nasty text, although I really want to. I want to, but I'm not going to. For the Zechus of Klal Yisrael, that we should have a Geula, that everybody should have a Yeshua, all the broken hearts should be healed. We need a Geula. Isn't that what we need more than anything else? Kichol b'ashamayim v'aretz, of all the things. We want Geula for ourselves, for our children, and for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Sfasema says the way that we can bring around that Geula, right around the corner, which we hope will pray, maybe come tonight, maybe tomorrow, is through the Koach HaDibur. It's through Kichol b'ashamayim v'aretz. So in this chus of the Koach HaDibur that we gather together tonight, it should be a beautiful schus and a great aliyah, a chizuk for all of us, and especially in the merit of our wonderful friend, Tani Robinson. Thank you all for coming. Yeshu koach, everyone. We'll daven Maariv, and then I assume that...